So to Washington now, Republican leaders now say they support an extension of those payroll tax cuts for working Americans. It's about $1,000 a year for people getting a regular paycheck. But can they make that support stick among conservative members of the House, particularly, who have insisted that any tax cut extension be paid for with offsetting spending cuts? Joining us to discuss the internal machinations of the GOP is Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Two questions, Todd. First, can they make it stick? Let's start with that one.
Well, this deal, John, which is broader than just the payroll tax cut. Remember, this tentative deal that we have in Congress covers the payroll tax cut extension worth about $100 billion, covers extension of unemployment benefits that affects close to 3 million people, and also money for physicians who see seniors and disabled folks under Medicare. So
what's all of those things. What's that called? There's a name for it.
The doc fix.
That's right.
They call that the doc fix. And that's the doc fix is an interesting case if you're into budgets and our fiscal situation, John, because the whole reason they're pouring money into this doc fix is because back in 1997, in the name of balanced budgets, basically Congress used doctors' money as a slush fund, future doctors' money as a slush fund to pretend like the budget was balanced back in 1997. It never was, which is why we're pouring $15 or $20 or $30 billion into it today.
You know, what's interesting here, Todd, is that all three of these things are the kinds of fiscal issues that were handled automatically, that would not typically be debated on the floor, that would be bipartisan, that would be voted sort of pro forma. Yet, I'm thinking that because the Republicans have made a fight about this all of a sudden and are now changing gears here, did they get some sort of message when they were back home on their holiday breaks?
Well, I'm not sure if it's back home on holiday breaks per se. I think what they really got, John, was the message from back in December. This isn't the first fight over the payroll tax cut that they had. Remember, there was a bruising battle back in December over extension of the payroll tax cut.
Sure.
And all they got was a two-month extension. That's why we're doing this now. Republicans lost, John, and they lost horribly. They lost politically. They lost in the policy sphere. They wound up on the wrong side of a tax cut debate. They didn't want that to happen again. And Democrats, frankly, were licking their chops at the prospect of bruising Republicans again on a middle-class tax cut. You know, you said in the opening there that Republicans have insisted all along that all tax cuts be paid for. I'm going to take issue with that. That's not really true. Part of the political problem that Republicans had on this one is that Republicans had been demanding that this particular tax cut be paid for, this middle class tax cut. On other tax cuts, like extending the Bush tax cuts or extending dividend tax cuts or capital gains tax cuts, it has been the Republican position for a couple of years that those don't have to be paid for.
The head of the Budget Committee in the House, would say they're not offsetting per se, but he's also calling for draconian federal spending cuts, which essentially are part of a two-pronged Republican strategy: keep the tax cuts in place and engage in really serious spending cuts way beyond what the Democrats would ever go for.
Entitlement reform, exactly. That's exactly true. And this smaller payroll tax cut, John, kind of goes to that. Especially because, remember, the payroll tax, it doesn't go into the Treasury. It goes right to Social Security. This 6.2% that we all pay on our paychecks goes right into Social Security. Now, the Social Security Trust Fund is not being bled dry by this tax cut. What they're doing is just shifting the money from the Treasury under this deal. So it's not as though they're taking the money away from Social Security checks. But your assessment of the fight over broader entitlement reform and taxes is correct. But none of that is going to get done this year. That all has to take place, as we've said, after the election and after voters tell the president and Congress who has the mandate to sort of get their way on the big questions of taxes and entitlements and debt. So this is all part of the broader picture there.
Well, but let's get back to the original question. I mean, time after time, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, has come to the microphone and said, we have a deal on this, that, or the other thing. And then Tea Party members and conservative members of the House caucuses have shut it down. Is that going to be the fate of this, or is there something else going on here that's going to move this forward?
The exact same dynamic appears to be going on, John, here, but the shut it down aspect looks like it's not going to happen. The main reason, yesterday afternoon, Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader in the House, after remaining silent on the Republican issue to carve out the payroll tax cut from the rest of this deal and say, yes, we'll pass it unpaid for, sort of taking a weapon away from Democrats here in this debate, she remained silent on it for a full day and then yesterday said, Democrats will support it. We'll all vote for it. What does that mean? That means John Boehner now has the freedom to give this deal to the Republican conference, many of them will vote against it. Republicans came out of a conference committee, not a conference committee, but a Republican conference meeting last night, John. A lot of the conservatives that you would expect, some of them Tea Party affiliated, some of them not, said, we're not going for this. This is unpaid for. This adds to the deficit, which it does, about $100 billion on the deficit for the payroll part of this deal. Some of them don't believe in extending the payroll tax cut in the first place. Many of them will vote against this. But with all of the Democrats or most of the Democrats on board in the House, it looks like you'll have enough votes. The nice thing procedurally about this to get this passed before Congress goes home before next week, this is going to be what's called a conference report. It can't be amended. It can't be filibustered. 51 votes in the Senate, majority in the House, and it's done.
So the takeaway here is Boehner and the Democrats are united against this traditional Tea Party caucus that in this congressional session has been such a problem for the speaker. Now, you know, a cynical way of looking at this from a Republican strategy standpoint is, and you alluded to it with Pelosi there, and explain this before we go, the Republicans maybe just want to deny President Obama a campaign issue here.
Sure, and that's politics, but they want to deny a couple of campaign issues. The payroll tax cut, the middle class tax cut was a campaign issue. The dysfunctional Congress, the do-nothing Congress, whatever you want to call it in the president's eyes, is also a campaign issue. The president still has plenty of ammunition on the ladder on the do-nothing Congress or the obstructionist Congress. There have been enough deals gone bad, enough faltering negotiations in the last 2 years that he's going to have plenty to talk about. It's true that going into the official election year, the calendar year, right, Republicans had decided that abject obstruction was probably not in their best interest. Democrats, too, they want to try to get one thing done. And if the payroll tax cut had expired, bad for the economy, John. That would be money out of people's pockets. Democrats were worried it would hurt those economic indicators, which they're desperate to see improve,
right,
for the president's reelection bid.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. I understand Obama's going to meet Scott Walker in Milwaukee later today. That's a hallucination I want to talk
awkward
about, maybe with you tomorrow.
Yeah. A little awkward, Todd, maybe.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Yep.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.